Jesus soon would pass that way. great to be here in Kamloops again at the conference, and great to be here at Sunday School. And I always think it's wonderful when we have a Sunday School that has all ages of those who are young at heart together. It's really great to be together. Now, one of the challenges that you have when you're a visitor, coming back someplace that you've maybe been once before, but not a lot of time, is remembering names, isn't it? I'll start right now by apologizing to anyone that I've called by the wrong name this week. I always say that the visitor, he has the hard time, because everyone else just has to remember the visitor's name, and the visitor has to remember everyone's name. But yeah, I know that you can all help me out a little bit. Now, do I need to be speaking into this thing? All right. Okay. So, of the children who are here, who here thinks that they know pretty much everyone's name who's usually here on a Sunday at Kamloops? Not conference weekend, but the rest of the time. Do you know? I think you probably do. You think you probably do? Well, I thought maybe you could give me a little help. I have some pictures of some of the believers who are here every Sunday at Kamloops, and I'm hoping that maybe you can help me a little bit with their names. All right? So as soon as you see a picture, if you know that person, then you just go ahead and shout out their name. All right. See if I can get this over to where I want. All right, right there. Okay, who is it? It's a recent photo. I just took it this morning. Who's that? I don't think so. It's Trevor. Look at there. There's a brother. Who knows? All right, well. Oh, boy. I didn't intend to get into that level of detail. All right. Spots and wrinkles and every such thing. Okay, how about that one? Maybe this, you don't know? Don't know that one? Well, let's try the next one. How about that? Dave, oh, there's someone's got on. How about that?
Recognize the shirt.
That's right. And that's maybe related to our lesson today. You guys aren't doing very well. Do you not know the people who are always here in Kamloops? Don't you know that one of the best ways to recognize a person is by their hand? Well, that's why when we meet someone, they stick out their hand, right? So we can look at their hand and we'll be able to recognize the next time. Hi, pleased to meet you. See, and then you can look at my hand and then you'll know who I am the next time. Isn't that how it works? No, it's not how it works.
Well, I want to satisfy the curiosity of those who are here, so that's Trevor. I think that's Mr. Eggers, Dave Richards, and that's his lovely wife.
I thought so.
Now you know.
Oh, yeah. I should have asked both if they recognized whose hand that was. All right. You say that's ridiculous. Who ever asked people to recognize them by looking at their hands? Who ever asked people to recognize them by looking at their hands? Well, someone did, and I want to read about it together. Luke chapter 24, and I'm reading in verse 37. They were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Who's the person who said, look at my hands and feet, it's me? Who said it? Who said it? Do you know who said it? Who said it? The Lord Jesus. He said, look at my hands and my feet, and you'll be able to recognize that it's me. I know this would have been a much more exciting Sunday school if I put up pictures of feet, but I thought it might be a little harder to convince some of the believers to peel off their socks and bear them for the congregation.
It would be quite a feat.
It would be quite a feat, yes. Yes. So, you know what? I think I'll just take that off the screen so that we don't have to worry about it too much.
probably just
close that up.
Okay, so the Lord Jesus, he asked, he told these people who were wondering about who this was, "You can tell it's me by looking at my hands and my feet." Well, how could we tell who a person is by looking at their hands? Well, I think we got some sense of it today, right? Well, one way you can tell is maybe by what's on their hands. Sometimes there are things on their hands that might tell you something about, if not exactly who this person is, something about who they are. What's something that a person could have on their hands that might identify something about them? What would it be? Well, oh, that's the hazard of asking questions for children in Sunday school. That's the hazard of asking questions. Well, let's think about, are there ever, let me ask this. Do you ever see a photo of someone and they have long white gloves on their hands? What kind of a person might that be? Might have long white gloves on their hands, like up to their elbow. Fancy gloves. Satin gloves. Queen? The queen? You often see pictures of the queen, especially old pictures of the queen. She has long gloves on her hands, right? Especially back in the days of the Bible, you might see a king and he had something very special on his hands. And if the person had that thing, then they had all the authority of the king. What was that that he had on his hands? What was it? Yes, he had a signet ring, right? A signet ring that he could seal letters with. He would press it into the wax, leave a shape behind, and everyone would know that that letter came with the authority of the king. So you could tell that, you could tell that who a person is maybe by something that was on their hands, right? But the Lord Jesus, was the Lord Jesus a king? Was he a king? He was a king. Yes, a king. Where is he that is born the king of the Jews? Did he have fancy white gloves on? Did he have a big ring upon his finger? No, he didn't. Even though he was the king of kings. Instead, he came just like a humble carpenter. Just like a boy born into a poor family. So you can tell sometimes who a person is by what is on their hands. You can tell, oh, I brought some things along. Sometimes you can tell something about a person by what is in their hands. Alright. You saw that in someone's hands. What might you think about that person? They might be a carpenter, right? Although if he's a real carpenter, he'd probably have one of those really, really fancy hands. But you see that? You'd say, yeah, he might be a carpenter. What if you saw someone who had this in their hands?
A plumber?
I haven't done a lot of plumbing, but I'm not sure that works very well for most plumbing jobs. Do you want to guess again? A mechanic? Yes. I won't identify who I borrowed this from, but it also is someone who uses their wrenches as pry bars. Yes, you might see that in his hands, and you might say that's the person who had. What if someone had this in their hands? What might you think about them? What's that? A baker, yes. Yeah, some of you are looking at that like a foreign implement. Maybe you've never held that before in your hands, right? Yes. So you can tell who someone is, maybe, by looking at their hands. You can tell if there's something on their hands, maybe. Maybe there's something that's in their hands. Well, what about some things that were in the hands of the Lord Jesus? Well, one thing I think right away is he often, in his hands, held other people's hands. Who can think of a person whose hand the Lord Jesus held at some time? Maybe one of his miracles? Do you have any? No?
Jairus' daughter.
That's right. And he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means in their language, "Little girl, arise." Actually, I think, and I'm on the spot here a bit, it actually means "little lamb, arise." I think that maybe is what it actually means. Maybe I shouldn't just be going off the top of my head up here. But "little girl, arise." He took her by the hand and he raised her to life.
What about one time out in the middle of the sea, he held someone's hand? Anyone know that? When was that? Peter. Yes, Peter went out walking on the water, looks around at all the waves, he starts to sink, and he says, "Lord, save me." And the Lord took him by the hand, and he lifted him up, and he brought him to safety in the boat. In Mark 9, there's a story about a little boy, well, maybe not so little, and he's possessed by a demon. And if I remember the story correctly, he is actually having what you might say is a spell under the influence of this demon. And he's unconscious. And the Lord takes him by the hand. Peter, or he's called Simon in the story, his mother-in-law was very sick one day. And the Lord Jesus came very early in his ministry, and he took her by the hand and he raised her up. And she was so healed that right away she was able to help and to serve them. So one thing that was in the Lord Jesus' hands was the hands of other people. And when I think about that, I think of the power that the Lord Jesus had. Now obviously, it wasn't that until he came to earth, it wasn't that the Lord Jesus had hands like you and I have. But you know, when we read in the Old Testament, in the language of poetry, it often speaks about creation being made by his hands. Even in the New Testament, in John, we read that all things are made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. With our family at home right now, we like to memorize the Psalms with the children. Right now we're memorizing Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. And it talks there about creation and about the stars, that they are the works of thy hand. And then it goes on to talk about all sheep and oxen and the beasts of the field and the birds that fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatever passes through the path of the sea are the works of his hands. His powerful, powerful hands. Well, what else was in his hands? We were talking about this with the young people a little bit last night. There's one time where there was a towel in his hands. When did the Lord Jesus take a towel into his hands? Anyone know? Do you know when the Lord Jesus took a towel one time?
When
he washed their feet. That's incredible. That's incredible. Was there a rush for the towel that night after the supper? Each of the disciples, who could get there quickest and get that towel and wash everyone's feet? No, they didn't want to do that. They were too busy arguing about who was the greatest. Who was going to be the greatest? Well, if I wash James' feet, well, then it looks like he's going to be greater than me. And maybe he's going to sit in the treasured place in the kingdom. They were so busy, so proud, so busy worrying about who was the greatest. And the Lord Jesus knelt down and washed their feet. Do you know, I sometimes think that because we don't really wash feet anymore in our culture, we don't grasp like what that meant, what that was like for the Lord Jesus to take that place. I guess maybe the one thing that we might think is sort of like that is, you know, recently on the way out here flying through the airports, and you see the janitorial staff in there cleaning the toilets. Maybe that in our culture is sort of what would be the equivalent of that. You know, you would think it the entry-level of entry-level jobs. Not even the job that a child would grow up and say, I think I'd like to start out cleaning toilets. Children don't often grow up saying those things, right? That's often how we think about some of those jobs. And that's how the people of that day thought about washing feet. It wasn't just for a servant. It was for the servant who was at the bottom of the ladder. And the Lord Jesus took that place. I thought there was a time where he, in his hand, he had the injured ear of Malchus. Malchus was with the people who had come to take the Lord Jesus and put him to death. And you remember Peter got out his sword and he's swinging. And he cuts Malchus' ear and says that the Lord Jesus touched Malchus and healed him. That's tremendous mercy. You think about that. Someone has come to put him to death. And this man's injured in trying to put him to death. And he stops in the midst of it all and heals this man, knowing that that man and his friends
or the ones who are with them, are going to continue on and put him to death afterwards. But when he was being mocked, we read that the soldiers, I believe it was, put something in his hand, and they put a reed in his hand. A reed? Oh, maybe we might think today of like a bulrush, or maybe it was more sort of like a little shoot of bamboo. They were making fun of the Lord Jesus, weren't they? I talked about that in Matthew 27 and 29. They said, is this man the king of the Jews? Well, if he's the king of the Jews, then he should have a crown. And so what did they give him for a crown? What did they give him? They gave him a crown of thorns, and they put that on his head, didn't they? Well, they said, if he's the king, he needs a fancy garment. And what did they give to him? You know? I bet you know. They gave him a purple robe, didn't they? Well, they said, if he's a king, then he needs to have a scepter. And so they took this reed and they put it in his hands. Do you know what is really interesting about when Matthew tells us about that? It says that they put the reed in his hands, and then they took the reed out of his hands, and they struck him on the head. Why did they strike him on the head? Because that's where they put the crown of thorns. Well, they said, if he's a king, then he needs to have some fine perfume or anointing. And so they spit on him. They did many awful things. You know what is suffering? The things that were in the hands of the Lord Jesus. Well, we can recognize people by their hands, by what's on their hands, what's in their hands, and, well, we had some of this today, what their hands look like. There's some distinctive marks on some of those hands, and someone saw them and said, oh, I know who that is because of that mark that's in those hands, or on those hands. Why do you think the Lord Jesus said, look at my hands and my feet, it's me? Why did he say that? Was there a mark in his hands and feet that showed that it was him?
Yeah.
What was it? There was the holes of the nail prints. I like to think, and maybe we actually came just a little bit in that last hymn I gave out in the remembrance meeting, that the last thing he held in his hands were the nails. That's sort of what that hymn is saying. It's saying that it was love that held him to the tree, or iron would never have bound him. What it's saying is that, you know, to the people round about, it looked like those nails were holding him to the cross. But really, it was the Lord Jesus' love that was holding him to the cross. Some say that the nail held his hands, but maybe we could almost say it was his hands that held the nail. And they were marked permanently with that hole from the nail out of love. Whenever I think about that, I think back to that story in Exodus 21. Now you remember there's a servant, and he has served for many years, and the time has come for him to go free. But he has a wife that he loves very much, and children he loves very much, and maybe a master that he loves very much. And he comes to his master and he says, I don't want to go free. I love you, and I love my wife and children, and I want to stay here. Then it says that his master was to take him to the post of the door and take an awl, tool sort of like a nail, and was to make a hole to his ear. And that man would be a servant forever. Why I think about that story is, you think about all the years that would come and go throughout that man's life. You think about his children growing up. You think about his wife growing old together with him. And you think day by day, as they see their father come and go, and they see that hole in his ear, that jagged hole in his ear. Do you know what they would think? If they were really thoughtful about it, whenever they saw that, they would think, that's how much my father loves me. That's how much my father loves me. Look at that hole. That's how much my father loves me. When the Lord Jesus was showing his hands and feet with the jagged holes in them, just like that one that man had in his ears, there was there the evidence. Look how much I love you. And that's what the Lord Jesus is saying to us today. Now, he's not here to show his hands physically.
by faith, we can understand, we can believe the truth of what those disciples saw, and we can think how much he loves us. See, in his hands also held something else. In his arms he would gather together the little children, and he would bless them. His disciples didn't think that he should bother with that. And they would try to shoo the children away. And the Lord Jesus would say, suffer, but we would say today, let the little children come to me and don't forbid them. The Lord Jesus loves children just as much as he loves adults. He loves children, and he died to redeem them. Children need to be redeemed just like fathers and mothers and men and women need to be redeemed. Because even the little child is sinful in its heart, even from its very birth. The Lord Jesus has full nail holes, nail prints in his hands and feet today because he loves children and because he died to save them. And I hope that today, as you think about this, you can think about those nail holes and think, those show how much the Lord Jesus loves you. And we pray you'll trust the Lord Jesus to be your Savior and you'll love him.
Amen.